This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com. The gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
Right now, Skype is doing weird things, more weird things, because what's happening now is because of the coronavirus, major TV networks are using Skype for network communications. TV shows are doing it. Like James Spader on Blacklist, the final episode of the season, they use inserts, they use animation, but the audio from James Spader's speech was obviously done with a Skype connection with a laptop or desktop using a laptop mic. The quality was so bad, and nobody at NBC or the production company seemed to realize, hey, the guy is a multimillionaire, get him a decent mic. Oh, well. You can tell the difference, folks, when they use the laptop mic. Some are good. Some kind of sound like you're in a fog, which sometimes could be the logic of what they're saying, but we don't want to get into that. Last week, for example, we had a great show, not about UFOs. For people who don't like to hear UFOs every week, we had Chad Lewis and Kevin Lee Nelson. And Randall and I noticed this, and after they'd speak, we hear all these weird noise artifacts. Remember that?
Yes, I did. Did those come out in the recording? Did you have to work your wizardry to get rid of those, or did they just not appear?
Well, a couple did, but mostly I worked around it. But I'm listening to cable TV news just now before we connected. I'm hearing the same artifacts because it's part of problems you have sometimes with group conversations on Skype. So you know, in addition to the horrible audio quality, what's going on. But I think most of the people interviewed on cable news, I'm not talking, it could be Fox News, could be MSNBC, NBC, CNBC, CNN, these people have enough money to spend $50 on a USB mic, I think. A lot of them are very rich, and they're using their laptop mics. That doesn't make sense to me, whatever. And you can tell the difference, folks. You listen, you'll know the difference between what we do here at the PowerCast, and most of our guests have pretty decent mics, or at least we help them adjust the sound. Kurt has a really good mic. Of course, Randall does. I'm using the Shure SM58 that they use, vocalists use them. I mean, I watch YouTube concerts with people like Paul McCartney, and a lot of these people are using this $99 mic. What we wanted to get into here is UFOs and pop culture. And as you'll see, if you've listened to Kurt Collins on the PowerCast before, he knows a lot about such things. So let me give you an example of that, of something about pop culture, which will lead into our conversation. The site we're talking about is The Saucers That Time Forgot, which, of course, is a play on the words of a movie called The Land That Time Forgot. In any case, or maybe not, he'll tell me I'm wrong. I was thinking here of, for example, Archie Comics. Now, there's a gothic version of Archie Comics on the CW called Riverdale, where, you know, it's like one of these graphic comics, all the dark stuff happening between Jughead and Archie and Betty and Veronica. But my two stories about it. One, when I was a kid, I used to go to the publisher's offices in New York City and buy the old issues. I mean, going back to the 40s. I had a great collection today, if I still have that collection in decent condition. Tens and tens of thousands of dollars. Guys, have you ever had collectibles that you foolishly gave up, Randall?
Me, no, I don't think so. If I did, I don't know what they were. But then again, I hang on to all kinds of stuff. I've got an old Windows 98 computer that actually somebody just wants to buy this weekend because their younger son is into this retro tech stuff. This computer that people would most people have thrown them either into the recycling or gotten rid of them by now, and they want to buy this. It's the old beige computer with a beige CRT screen. Some of those old CRT monitors alone are worth $300-$400 now. It's crazy.
I had an Apple color display cost like $1,200 when it came out in 1989. Kurt Collins, you're interested in pop culture. Are there valuable things that you gave up and didn't realize they could be valuable someday?
Oh, lots of them. And well, depending on how you want to look at the misfortune of going into the collectibles business after high school, I had like 6 months of college, and I said, hey, there's this comic book shop job is open, and I took that. And so I forget college. This is what I really want to do is be surrounded by comics and science fiction and movie stuff all day. So, and then I'd lost a lot of the comics I had as a kid. I still had some from my teens, and I just learned what I had gotten rid of and or lost or had been thrown away, how much that was worth. And, and so now a lot of time has passed since then. And so for example, during the Batman TV show, which was like when I was first and second grade, those comics, just because of the age and the popularity of the character, especially with the Tim Burton movie in 89 or so, there was a huge demand. So even the average comic from the mid-60s, was much more valuable. So, and I had tons of those. So, and of course, it's all gone.
I had some early Spider-Man and Marvel Comics stuff. And just to bring you up to date, in those days, I even talked to these people, like Stan Lee. I talked to him on the phone a couple of times. I didn't know he'd someday become a billionaire and appear as cameo in multi-billion dollar movies. This is like the early 1960s. Mort Weisinger, who was the editor for Detective Comics that became DC Comics, I talked with him. I talked with Forrest J. Ackerman, who did famous Monsters of Filmland, and I knew him casually over the years. Very, occasional interactions, met him up at a couple of places. Really sweet guy. He had this great collection of horror and sci-fi memorabilia in L.A. But I don't know why we're talking about pop culture, because of one of two things. First thing is Archie Comics. There was an issue of Archie Comics where they actually meet a real UFO investigator, Stanton Friedman. Any of you guys remember that issue?
I do, mainly because Paul Kimball shared it on Facebook, and I would have never heard about it otherwise. But I have seen that story.
Well, I'll tell you, how many of us could become comic book characters? That's awesome. Now, we're going to talk about the Saucers of Time Forgot because of one item that just went up over the last day or two as we record this show, about the author of Sam Spade and some vague UFO connection. What are we talking about here?
So, Dashiell Hammett, it was the author, and people should know him from the Maltese Falcon. And, of course, his character, Sam Spade, went on to have a radio show. And any popular author usually is going to – their name is attached to it, but usually it's somebody else writing. The same way with TV shows and when there's a movie adaptation. And so there was also – aside from the sponsor was a Wild Root hair oil, some antiquated beauty product for men that like Burma Shave. No one knows what that is these days.
Well, I think I do know what Burma Shave is. I even used it. I use an electric shaver today, and for people who think I have a lot of money, I'm using a $25 Flyco, which is a knockoff of Norelco. And the thing lasts a year or two, so $25 is great, and it gives you great shaves. So there, go ahead.
Well, so the sponsor, Wild Root, put advertisements in magazines and newspaper comics, and it looked just like a Sunday comic strip in color. And one of them was Sam Spade. It was The Adventures of Sam Spade. I mean, it ran every week, and it was disguised in an ad. I mean, in the middle of a case, Sam Spade would say, well, I'm lucky I missed that bullet. It's probably because they used Wild Root hair oil.
Let's go into that in a minute. We'll find some hair oil right here. I used Wild Root, by the way. More to come with Kurt Collins, Gene Steinberg, J. Randall Murphy. You're in
the Paracast.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
You know what's really smart?
Wash your hands frequently, practice social distancing, and stay home if told to do so.
You know what's really dumb?
To ignore your immune system.
Right now, more than ever, your health depends on a strong immune system.
The experts at Immunocorp will give you their 7-step guide to immunity for life, free.
Why? Because we want you to be smart and healthy.
Simply call 800-446-3063 or click immunityforlife.com.
Immunocorp has been producing the world's leading immune system products for more than two decades.
To get your free 7-step guide to immunity for life, call 800-446-3063. 800-446-3063.
Be smart. Don't ignore your immune system. Your life depends on it.
Call 800-446-3063 or click immunityforlife.com. Immunityforlife.com.
Seven million children suffer from asthma, more than any other chronic disease. Most asthma attacks are caused by allergic reactions to allergens, including those left behind by cockroaches and mice. In fact, 82% of U.S. households contain mouse allergens, and cockroaches are found in up to 98% of urban homes. How can you protect your family? Find out at PestWorld.org. A message from the National Pest Management Association and the American College of Allergy, Asthma, and Immunology.
The Hebo Tea Club's original Pure Powdy Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on, so it naturally has antifungal, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-infection, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. But maybe more importantly, the Hebo Tea Club's original Pure Powdy Arco Super Tea builds corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer happens to die in oxygen. The tea is great for healthy people and can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The Hebo Tea Club's original Pure Pau de Arco Super Tea is only $34.95 plus shipping. Order now at ShopSuperTea.com or call 818-984-6100. That's ShopSuperTea.com or call 818-984-6100. ShopSuperTea.com.
Has your body ever gone low blood sugar, feeling weak, shaky, knowing you better eat something fast? We all know high blood sugar can lead to many metabolic problems. At GCNteam.com, we have a healthy blood sugar pack, focusing on the structure and function of stable blood sugar. Find us at GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Nothing feels worse than unstable blood sugar. Call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
That's very interesting, too, because in the early radio shows, 30s, 40s, 50s, TV shows, there was much more of a direct sponsor connection between the sponsor and the TV show, like the Texaco Star Theater or something like that, where, for example, Superman Lois Lane would sell you Kellogg's Corn Flakes because Kellogg's sponsored the TV show. You don't see that now because spots are put in there on a rotation basis. Go ahead. Wild Root. That was kind of a really greasy...
Yeah, it does.
So, hairdressing, so they, wasn't it, Kurt?
So they sponsored the radio show. They put these ads that looked like comic strips in the Sunday newspapers, and one of them was Sam Spade in the Case of the Flying Saucer. People read the article, but you know, just to give you an idea what this particular one was about, the public is amazed by this silvery bright object that's over the city, and since you know it was like a 7-panel strip, Sam Spade finds it right away, and his female sidekick says, "What's that funny looking plane?" And it's got a metal silvery disc on top of it, which gave it the illusion of the flying saucer. And the guy was wearing a skin tight suit, and he was an eccentric millionaire. They really didn't go into detail with the plot, but it was some scheme to persuade the public to do something or other. But, you know, he was put in a mental institution, and that case was over. But that was Dashiell Hammett's character. And, you know, Sam Spade is his most famous character. But that was kind of a minor thing. The more important story was later the same year, with this a lesser known character, Secret Agent X9. Have either of you ever heard of him?
Absolutely not.
Well, he was later known as Phil Corrigan, but it was a newspaper comic strip. Dashiell Hammett and the artist from Flash Gordon collaborated on this. And he was, originally he didn't have a name. He was just X9. He would sometimes use a code name or something. But, so Hammett worked with the artist for over a year, but then he left and was taken over by other people. And by the, Mel Graff took it over in, the mid 40s. He did a story that came close on the heels of Major Donald Kehoe's book, Flying Saucers Are Real, and Frank Scully's Behind the Flying Saucers. And this story was much more interesting to UFO buffs because it's probably the first dramatic depiction of a captured flying saucer and alien bodies. And X9 is a spy who's working for, they I don't know that they ever named the agency, but you know, by not doing it, it could be FBI or CIA and those kind of things, whatever the plot needed. So he was fighting enemy spies, and he was brought in by his superior, and he showed him a room with two living little aliens, and then went on to show him a captured flying saucer behind glass in a laboratory. And, you know, weeks went on. The enemy spies were trying to get the technology and the aliens, some of which were, living, some were dead and in tubes. And, it turned out to be you know, the details of the plot, I don't know if I should give away the story because, you know, that's in there. But there was an element of propaganda and maybe manipulation of information. And I will tell you at the end of the story, the boss comes in and says, well, you know, everything's not as it appears. And X9 thinks, well, so this is all propaganda to fool the enemy. And he says, well, hold on. Let me tell you what's really happening. And then the story breaks, and it says a minute later. So the readers, I guess we didn't have the classification and clearance to get the answer. But X9 is astonished, and he says, I can't believe it.
We wonder here how much they really knew when they published stuff like that. Because you put something in a comic strip, nobody's going to take it seriously.
Yeah, I doubt they really had the inside information, but a lot of times, I mean, we have to give these people credit. These artists and writers who, science fiction authors, they can come awfully close to the truth just by paying attention to what's going around them. And if we're going to talk about pop culture, there was a Superman comic in the 40s during wartime, and it mentioned an atomic bomb, and some government agents came up to the editors of DC Comics and said, hey, what's this about this atomic bomb? You shouldn't be publishing that. And so, you know, they were concerned they actually knew something about it. And, well, they didn't. They just knew they read Scientific American and the other journals and kind of put things together. And, their atomic bomb in the comic was like pocket size, so it had no resemblance to the real thing. But still, in other science fiction and comics, they have come awfully close to what's really going on.
Well, the one thing that we sometimes forget is when you get past the fantasy of the superheroes, a lot of these comic book writers are into pop culture and writing about how people would react. And I think what made Marvel Comics so popular is they tried to show what happens if a normal person, like a high school kid, is bitten by this radioactive spider and becomes a superhero. So instead of worrying about his acne and getting along with girls, Peter Parker has to become someone with great responsibility. Because a superhero, the realism is that we're talking about an audience of probably late teens, mid-teens, and as they got older, they picked up reading it. But dealing with the realistic problems people like that might have if confronted with something that is just totally out of this world.
Well, yeah, you're exactly right on that. And Steven Spielberg did the same kind of thing with most of his movies. He takes an ordinary person and they meet extraordinary circumstances, and it's how they react to it and allows us as viewers to identify with it. Some of the classic comic heroes, they were extraordinary people before they got powers. Some of them, I mean, Superman came from another planet, and say Green Lantern was an accomplished pilot, and they had already. And Batman was rich. He was the son of a doctor. These were sort of people that they had something going on before they entered the hero world, and by having someone like Spider-Man a number of the other Marvel characters, some of those were scientists too, but they didn't tend to be as they were more relatable to the common man. And even the Bruce Banner, when he turned into the Hulk, his career was ruined and he was basically a homeless guy after that.
Of course, the big thing about Superman, which made him very dull in a lot of the stories, the fact that he grows up in Kansas, in Smallville, brought up by a farming family, having, of course, the core American ideals. I mean, there's a line in Man of Steel where Superman tells this general, "I grew up in Kansas. I'm as American as you are." And that's a movie made in, 2013, where things like that maybe weren't politically correct. But that's the point. He was a Boy Scout. And of course, now they're trying to make a darker character. It's not like Bruce Wayne and Batman, where the guy is psychologically damaged all his life because his parents were killed. We've got more to come with Gene Kurt and Randall. You're in
the Paracast.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNLive.com today.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. danpilla.com.
USA Radio News with Wendy King.
Around the world, demonstrations are happening to demand justice for George Floyd, a black man who died after being pinned by a white police officer.
Black man, man. Black man, man.
WCBS reporter Corey James is in New York City.
Protesters gathered on the streets and under trees along Central Park West in Harlem.
I just pray that it doesn't stop after this week.
We're here today to do our part because someone at some time risked their lives for us.
There was a demonstration in Minneapolis where Floyd died. There's also a huge protest in Washington, D.C. Mayor Muriel Bowser.
You know that we have to speak up loudly for more justice and more peace.
This is USA Radio News. The mayor of D.C. has renamed a street that leads to the White House. USA's John Hunt has more.
District of Columbia Mayor Muriel Bowser had Black Lives Matter painted on the street that leads directly to the White House, where protesters have been demonstrating following George Floyd's death in police custody.
We want to call attention today to making sure our nation is more fair and more just.
The mayor said that the people who painted it were all from the D.C. Public Works Department. President Donald Trump slammed Bowser Friday afternoon, tweeting, "The incompetent mayor of Washington, D.C., whose budget is totally out of control and constantly coming back to us for handouts, is now fighting with the National Guard, who saved her from great embarrassment." Bowser also tweeted later in the morning that that particular section of 16th Street has now been renamed Black Lives Matter Plaza. For USA Radio News, I'm John Hunt.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
There's so much hand sanitizer on the market, but beware. Not all hand sanitizers are created equal. That's why you want to use 2020 Safe Hand Sanitizer. You can trust the hand sanitizer on 2020safe.net to be made with the highest quality ingredients. American made with American ingredients employing Americans. Log on now to 2020safe.net and order your 1 liter today. Normally $29.99, but reduced to $19.99. So hurry while supplies last and receive a bonus. That's right. You'll receive a 30-count bottle of Immune Booster, a $39.95 value, free, by using code GCN at checkout. Right now, click 2020safe.net. That's 2020safe.net to get our 1 liter bottle of high-quality hand sanitizer with your free bonus, a 30-count bottle of Immune Booster valued at $39.95. Remember to enter GCN at checkout, and the bonus is yours, free, 2020safe.net.
Hello, this is John Burroughs, one of the witnesses to the Rendlesham UFO incident. You're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Pop culture, UFOs, you never know. But let's just shoot over some of the other really fascinating things he has over the Saucers of Time Forgot. And one's an article that came out just a few weeks ago as we do this show, UFO Study Programs and U.S. Military Technology. And what we're seeing here, Kurt, if I'm reading this correctly, is that the military was influenced by the reports of UFOs to try to duplicate their perceived technology.
That's right. Now, a lot of people have written about the attempts by scientists in the military to duplicate flying saucers. But I wanted to go a little broader than that because it wasn't just a saucer shape that was important. It was what saucers could do. You know, their stealthy performance, the electromagnetic effects, you know, the apparent, you know, which had weapons applications. I don't know if I mentioned the stealthy characteristic. They could evade radar. They could be seen and disappear. So this connects with what we were talking about with pop culture, because in science fiction, it is often predicted things that would come in the military. Even before there were actual submarines, people were writing about submarines and space travel and everything else. And usually science fiction gets there first, no matter what it is. And a lot of this science fiction has inspired real scientific developments. Some people have gone into science because they grew up reading science fiction.
You know, let me just throw one example at you before we go on. Jimmy Doohan, of course, a Canadian actor, voice actor who became famous for Scotty, appearing as Scotty in the original series, kind of sort of wrecked his career. He was always identified with this role to the end of his life. He wrote a book about it, about his life, and the one thing that really, really kept him in it, doing the movies and everything, was the fact that Time and time again, he would meet engineers who would say, you know why I got into this profession? Because of you, because of Scotty.
That's true. And there was a special, it's probably been five or more years back, but I can't remember the title of it. I wish I'd thought to look that up. But it was all about how Star Trek had inspired people and some of the specific things. Like, if you go back on their show, they seem to have something that looks like iPads. Now, we can't say necessarily that the iPad was invented as a response to Star Trek. It could just be that's a logical progression. It's useful. You know, one of the things that the communicators sort of predated flip phones. There were just a lot of things featured in the show. Even the sliding doors were something that was slightly ahead of the technology at the time.
One thing quickly, there's a book called The Science of Star Trek that covers this. And when we talk about tablets, Star Trek Next Generation featured them. But you may not recall this, Kurt. 2001, The Space Odyssey also had them.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. That, 2001, they worked closely with NASA consultants to kind of make sure that they were grounded in reality. You know, there was, especially in that movie, there's no sound in space. There's no faster than light drive. If you go to Jupiter, it's a slow trip. The suits, the way they lived in there. But anyway, getting back to the UFO angle. So UFOs, I went back and collected a number of things, some of the early statements made as they were putting together what was called Project Grudge at the time. But they were talking about the performance of these craft, and it's clear that it's something that they wanted. And the Air Force Division that was studying it, ATIC, which that's in my article. I can't remember what it stands for now, but it later became known as the Foreign Technology Division. And one of the things they did during World War II was to capture enemy aircraft, if possible, and figure out how it was built. They were trying to do the same thing, but they didn't have the advantage of having that craft. But there were a number of good engineers on hand, and there was one fellow, Alfred Letting. He designed somewhat saucer-shaped craft. It was never actually built beyond the model stage, but it looked very much like a flying saucer, and he was involved in that study. And we probably wanted flying saucers, but we realized that one of the things they said about them was that it had to have a different energy source than we had available to us. And one of the things they speculated was atomic energy, and that we just weren't ready for that. So they were working with the limitations of the aerospace technology at the time. But they were definitely the lenticular form. That was something that was experimented again and again throughout the 50s. And another odd thing about it, I didn't really go into this so much into the article, but throughout the 1950s, there were a few things like the Avro car in Canada that the U.S. had contracted, and there was another one, the lenticular space reentry vehicle. So there were some actual projects, but there was also a lot of talk from the military about how we would have craft flying that could be mistaken for flying saucers. They were telling the public that, and they were probably also telling our enemies that. And it seemed like there really was a definite push to make people, possibly enemies, think that we had flying saucers.
Isn't that, of course, part of the whole theory about some UFOs possibly being secret test aircraft?
Well, there's yeah, that was an early one. They were convinced that was the favorite theory, but the division early on, before the extraterrestrial idea really caught on, was whose was it? Because the military was looking hard at it, and they knew that it wasn't ours, and they were really worried the Russians had it, and I think the Russians were also trying to play this same game. I mean, they were experimenting with aircraft and saucer designs and releasing press. So they were, was this a Cold War game? I mean, regardless of the reality of UFOs and flying saucers and spacecraft from other worlds, there's also this propaganda and I guess psychological warfare that was going on over the subject.
Oh, definitely. I mean, if you all you have to do is look at Nick Redfern's. He's got a couple of books that are right on that subject. One of them on the trail of the saucer spies, UFOs and government surveillance. So definitely UFOs have played a part in disinformation and intelligence operations. There's just no doubt about that.
And I'd like to know more about some of these. There's all these wisps of information that, but you know, little actual proof of things. I mean, I found it's quoted in the article, but there's something from the 60s where a Russian general is talking about how he wants it's very much like what they were building as an Abrocar. It's basically a hovercraft, but he describes it as a flying saucer. And the picture in the article has the Army's idealized version of what they thought it could do. They thought it would be like not as so much of a plane. It would be like a flying Jeep. It would deliver troops and weapons. You know, that was the goal. And, you know, it just, the technology wasn't there. But, if you look at the Abrocar, one of the things I found in the article, there was a NASA scientist who was trying to give it a wind tunnel test, and the propulsion and the flight stability wasn't there. And this was, if people aren't familiar with it, this was basically a car-sized saucer, single pilot, and the man would in the two models they built, that they did fly, they hovered, but it wasn't stable. It kind of wobble like a top that when it was about to fall, but it would rise maybe 2 feet off the air, and they never perfected it. But this NASA scientist who was analyzing, he said that it would have worked, particularly with the fly-by-wire designs that came later.
Abrocar, more coming with Gene Randall Kircher in
the Paracast.
For listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
We also have swag. You know, we have all these exclusive Paracast things that you can buy. We've got like, I guess, 60 or so different items, and entails t-shirts, sleeves for notebook computers, iPad cases, mouse pads, the Paracast jumbo tote bag, all sorts of t-shirts and jackets and stuff like that for men and women. We have a Paracast aluminum water bottle. All this stuff, you go to store.theparacast.com, store.theparacast.com. What makes it special is that the items are the best quality, you know, great t-shirts, fabrics, and they have our official logo on them. That's what makes them special, in multiple sizes and colors. We even have stuff for children, stuff for women, stuff for men. We have all sorts of sizes, like small up to X large. A lot of good stuff. That's the swag from the Paracast. If you go to store.theparacast.com, stop by and take a shopping tour.
Houseflies defecate every 4 to 5 minutes, spreading diseases and germs. Protect your food and your health with Bug Assault, a miniaturized shotgun which utilizes ordinary table salt as ammunition. Non-toxic, no batteries required, only $39.95. Use discount code GCN and get an extra 10% off your purchase at bugassault.com. Fire your fly swatter. Get your Bug Assault today.
Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but soon you'll need a plan and place to survive. Forget bunkers. You're not a live underground gopher. You need survivalist camps, the ultimate fully functional off-the-grid mobile survival bug out house that's well equipped and custom built to outlast any other RV or trailer. Bold statement, you bet. See them now at survivalistcamps.com. That's survivalistcamps.com. Trust your family survival to survivalistcamps.com.
Warning, if you're drowning in debt you can't afford, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to pay it all back. because you don't. What the credit card companies don't want you to know is that there's actually a way to get debt-free without paying off your entire debt or going bankrupt. If you have $10,000 or more in credit card debt, you now have the right to let us settle that debt for a fraction of what you owe. For free information, call Credit Associates now. 1-800-900-8407. We'll even show you how much money you could save. If you can't afford to pay off all your debt, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to. Call Credit Associates now for free information on how to get debt-free faster than you ever thought possible without debt consolidation or bankruptcy. We depend on your success and offer a guarantee, so there's no risk. For free information, call now. 1-800-900-8407. That's 1-800-900-8407. 1-800-900-8407.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Hi, this is Bryce Abel. I'm the producer of Dark Skies, the co-author of AD After Disclosure, and you are listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
We're talking about our early efforts to create our own flying saucers, sort of like the Avro car. And from what you're telling me here, it didn't do well in the testing. It was never perfected, but maybe it was a few years ahead of its time.
Right, the F-17, they used to call it the Hopeless Diamond, and you know there was some other nickname, but it was, you know, until they developed, it wasn't aerodynamic because it needed a particular shape to evade radar, and having computer control, then the pilot just basically control where he wanted to fly and not worry about the stability of the aircraft itself, and it had this Avro car. Had that, it would have worked. It would have performed adequately. I mean, it was still never flown like a flying saucer, but it would have been a good hovercraft. So that was like a mismatch. The design was ahead of what technology could deliver at the time, and I guess no one's seen the need to make the combination and create it now.
Someone else we might want to bring into this too is, and not to forget, was Paul R. Hill.
And, oh, yeah.
Right. I mean, he was a NASA scientist who had a UFO sighting himself. And it as UFO sightings tend to do with people, it made a very deep impact on him. And he spent the remainder of his career looking for ways to try to build them and duplicate their performance. Within NASA, he even acted as sort of a clearinghouse for NASA, analyzing sighting reports for their physical properties and propulsion possibilities and so on.
I'll shortchange him in the article, but I did mention him. And one of the things that he did was he became convinced the maneuverability or the control of the saucer had to do with tilt. And so the one study that I looked at more closely was about how he had, I forget the name of the paper now, but it was based on that principle that you could have a craft, and I think he had a platform that a man stood on, and just by shifting his weight, he could control the direction of flight. So, and of course, in the actual, what he thought a flying saucer would operate, it would be done mechanically from inside rather than the gyrations of the pilot. But that was that principle. It was the shifting of the weight, the banking, and, you know, the motion, the sweeping motion that could be achieved. So he was a for real NASA scientist. It's very interesting that he was a UFO witness himself, and and it certainly inspired his work. And I think, as I recall, his book wasn't published until after his death, which is a shame.
Right, yeah, Unconventional Flying Objects, and you're absolutely right. Yeah, he did create a flying platform, and there's even a video out there. If you look it up on YouTube, you can see these things in action, and they look pretty weird. They look like something out of Doctor Who, but they really work. Recently, too, we've got this, now his name is escaping me, but he's put five little jet engines on a pad and has been able to make the flight across the English Channel. I think he had to stop somewhere in between to get some fuel, but he controls that thing by just tilting where he wants to go. And away he goes on this jet platform. Of course, there's Yves Rossi, who he was kind of the first guy to do that jet man. And he was able to put little jet engines on his on some small wings. He built this in his garage, and they were dropping him out of airplanes, and then he'd fire this thing up and just go taking off. And to steer, all he does is turns his head one way, turns his head the other way. You know, just amazing stuff.
There is a movie serial, King of the Rocket Men, from around 1950, where somebody builds this rocket suit. It's like a leather jacket. And he has a helmet, and he pushes a couple of buttons and jumps in the air like Superman. They were using, this was Republic Pictures, they were using pretty decent flying technology. Also, another character who used the similar technology was Commando Cody and the Lost Planet Airmen. But yeah, the rocket suit.
Well, you know, I have to blurt this out because, you know, with pop culture and being a UFO nerd. So a couple of interesting movie serials. One is The Purple Monster Strikes. That had Martians coming to Earth. There was a guy in a sort of, wasn't exactly a skin tight suit. But anyway, once the flying saucer story hit, they almost remade it and called it Flying Disc Man. And it was the first flying saucer. It was a movie serial, and unfortunately our flying disc crashes in the first episode, so you only have the disc man and not the disc itself for the rest of the movie. If you look at pictures of it, it resembles the flying wing that Kenneth Arnold described, and that's purely coincidental, but just as a point of trivia. But that was the first alien flying saucer movie. Before that, there had been two others. One was Bruce Gentry, and it featured a flying disc, which was like a remote-controlled missile that had the power to stop plane and car engines and stuff like that. And there was also something similar in a Superman movie serial. But the first feature film was Mikhail Conrad's The Flying Saucer. And the advertisements for it, they even use the tagline from Major Kehoe's book, The Flying Saucers Are Real. And in this book, in this movie, rather, there's a mystery up to a point, but it turns out that it's a scientist created this flying disc, and there's basically a Cold War battle between the U.S. and Soviet spies for control of it. So that's why it's more or less forgotten. It's not about aliens. So just, you know, it wasn't as exciting to people. You know, had they made that movie and at least had a fake alien, then it would probably be famous.
Now, I just should point out here a couple of things about the Republic serials. Republic had the best technology of that era in flying scenes. If you look at the 1941 movie Adventures of Captain Marvel, that's the character currently known as Shazam. But then was featured Tom Tyler, a B-movie actor. And the flying scenes were pretty decent. In fact, if you compare them like to the two movie serials with Superman, with Kirk Allen, is before George Reeves took over the role, they wouldn't spend money to have proper flying scenes, so they changed it to a cartoon. Every time you see him fly, he'd become an animated character. But Republic Pictures, no, they had decent flying scenes for the era. Better even than the Superman TV series of the 1950s, and probably not eclipsed until the Superman in the movie in 1978 in color. Just think about that. Go ahead.
Well, another nerdy bit of trivia. Those two movies, Bruce Gentry, and I mentioned the Superman movie serial that had the saucer, that was the same saucer. It was the same footage, and it was animated. So the first, those, it was a cartoon saucer in black and white inserted into a black and white movie. So I think audience might have bought it at the time. A modern audience is going to bust out laughing. So.
Oh, it looked seriously bad, because I think the actor who played Superman was a Broadway actor named Kirk Allen, whose career was totally destroyed after being Superman for two serials, the second of which introduces Lex Luthor, by the way. But in any case, he was a decent Superman. He had a better tack on playing Clark Kent as the nerd as opposed to George Reeves, but George Reeves had something that is only duplicated by one actor since then, which I'll mention. George Reeves had this twinkle in his eye, this great persona as Superman or Clark Kent, and nobody duplicated that, not even Christopher Reeve could duplicate that. Christopher Reeve was technically a much better actor. The only one who does is Tyler Hoechlin, who's going to be playing Superman in the new Superman and Lois TV series. He has that twinkle in his eye that only George Reeves could do. One of those sad things, since we're talking about Superman. I'm not totally nuts about Henry. Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, I want to keep talking about Superman. So now, who's the other actor that you were going to say?
Well, I mentioned Tyler Hoechlin. He came out of Teen Wolf, and he was actually a child actor in Road to Perdition with Tom Hanks. Look him up. He's a really, really good actor. Look him up. The new series is called Superman and Lois, where Superman and Lois are married with two teenage boys who may or may not have superpowers. And the person who plays Lois Lane, Elizabeth Tulloch, played the female lead in Grimm, if you remember that, where everybody, all these creatures suddenly change her face into folkloric creatures like werewolves and such. And she was one of the stars. Anyway, who cares about this? We're talking about folklore and UFOs, and we'll get into some more solid stuff in a moment. Gene Curtin Randall, who's probably wondering what we're talking about, you're in
the Paracast.
For listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Introducing Reveal from GCNLife.com. Beverly Hills dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman invented Reveal, which contains polypeptides with natural botanicals and no parabens, sulfates, silicones, or dyes for a salon-quality hair growth product, Reveal. Here's Dr. Newman.
I've treated a lot of patients who lose their hair and they lose their confidence. We've created a unique set of polypeptides, which we call HPT6. The HPT6 contains the polypeptides from six different plants. The scalp infusion treatment should be used on wet or dry scalp. The Reveal hair care system is designed to be used for men and women alike.
Get Reveal at GCNLife.com with a 30-day money-back guarantee. So try Reveal today at GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637. Plus a discount up to 25% off for Reveal at GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.